Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Matt Time Radio. Charo Brand.
Don't forget to call the show 800-893-9562. We're live? One more time.
What's up? Come on, dude.
Some cojones?
Yeah. Some like you mean it, dude.
This is Bear from Show Your Roll, and we're not training. We're listening to Matt Time Radio at Skid Row
Studios.
This is
Moya Brand Fighter, Bill the Grill Cooper, and you're listening to Matt Time Radio
this
on
Skid Row. Don't forget to call
LA.
The show 800-893-9562. This is Buddha Videos, and when we're not filming Rolled Up, we're listening to Matt Time Radio on skidrowstudios.com.
All right, everybody. Matt Time Radio is bringing to you another interview here from Marietta, California. I'm your host. I'm Rich.
I'm Craig. This is Decom Clothing at Matt Time Radio. Call us at 800-893-9562.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la.
You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562.
All right, everybody. Skid Row Studios. This is our first interview for Matt Time Radio. And this is one of many we're going to be bringing to you here. And actually, I have the honor to be joined with Black Belt Rich Fantasy. All right, everybody, welcome to Matt Time Radio. I'm Rich.
I'm Crail.
And we're going to be with you tonight. We'll be talking about all things BJJ and MMA related. And for those of you who don't know, that's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and mixed martial arts. Now, feel free to call the show at any time here at Skid Row Studios. Now, our number here is going to be 1-800-893-9562. And also tonight, we got Jeremy on the boards. Want to say thanks to Jeremy for letting us record our first episode here.
Thanks, guys.
So where do we begin?
Man, it's been a jam-packed week of free stuff, it seems like, on TV with that, obviously the big elephant in the room is the UFC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, of course, Strikeforce, which is a close second. Yeah. And a lot of big names out there fighting this weekend.
Yeah, that Strikeforce card was a little odd, especially after you check the fighter salaries and that stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I missed that one. I think my time for the UFC, and I think that show was actually really worth it.
Yeah, it's something that, I mean, I skimmed through it because I recorded it, but it was just, I mean, I think I went through all the fights in like 10 minutes. I think the only big one was the judo-kan chick fighting that had that verbal tap out.
Yeah, that's definitely a sore subject in my household. I won't go into too many details. I don't want to put anyone on blast, but
I was there, man. I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
I know. And for those of you who were there, yeah, getting a stink eye. Okay, let's go. But yeah, I do agree. That was a real early stoppage, even enough for the fighter just to throw her legs around again and even look at the ref. And you know, these women were really, really hard in the sport. They trained just as hard, if not harder, than the guys. And, you know, they shouldn't be going out like that. They should be able to finish their fights.
Well, I mean, they're professional athletes, too. So, obviously, it's a little different from a tournament where no one's getting paid, where it is training for fun. But those are professional athletes out there. They probably train 2-3 times a day for that stuff. She don't tap, break it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the way it is in amateur and, you know, in tournament. You know, you don't let go until the ref tells you to let go. And I'm sure these women, you know, they really wanted an opportunity to give it their all and to finish the fight, you know, on their terms and, you know, and just finish it just the way any other fight would have, you know, finished if it was a guy. You know, they really definitely, you know, they paid their dues to be there and to fight. And they, you know, they were putting on a good fight, too, and stuff. And, you know, it's a shame to see it happen like that, but.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I don't particularly like the commentary from Strikeforce, so I just usually put it on mute. Because those guys are just driving me crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
I got Frank Trigg in there, and I don't even know the other guy's name.
No, well, it's all funny, you know, and even in the UFC, Rogan is just, you know, off his rocker most of the time, too. And
yeah, but, you know, the good thing about him is at least, you know, he trains. I mean, he wears headgear when he trains, but at least he trains, you know.
Yeah, well, with all that stuff he's smoking, he should wear headgear off the mat, too.
Well, you know, he's trained with a lot of the guys like Eddie Bravo and all those people, so.
Yeah, they got their little instructional books and those things that they got together and their funny little picture books and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But, I mean, the good thing about it is he knows what he's talking about, you know. I think it's a little difficult when you got a guy out there who's never trained and, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't call it. I think Joe Rogan also sees, like, when the ref wants to stop a fight and the guys are like, come on. Like, at the UFC, I don't know if you watched it, but the guy was going to stand him up or I think it was it the Miller fight?
Oh, okay.
You had that arm bar on Kimura, right?
And yeah, he had the Kimura.
He was going to stand up to fight. You're like, come on.
Yeah, he was working for that position, but that was just about one of the only things he had in that match because he was getting worked. He got worked that whole time.
I mean, that was a good fight. Yeah. I mean, they were going at each other, so it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, even that leg lock, it looked pretty tight, too. And he's lucky he got all that leg lock.
That was. I mean, it was bent pretty bad.
It was extended. Now, that would have been one that, you know, it could have been really close, too, for the ref to say, you know what, that's it, stop the fight.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the fighter told him he was okay. That was a...
Ben Henderson. Yeah, he was Henderson, the one that, he waved at the ref and said, no, I'm all right.
Yeah.
And let it go.
He's pretty flexible. I've seen him at the, I think it was at the Pan Ams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was it the Worlds? It was in the tournament at Long Beach State.
Okay, that's probably the Worlds.
Yeah, he was at the Worlds there. I seen him because I think he went on Saturday, so I seen him competing. I think he won his first two and lost his third or something like that, but he's pretty flexible.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Roger Huerta when he was fighting in the UFC. They called it the anti-jiu-jitsu, where he would just get out of positions and slip out and be all over the place, and he'd always seem to find a counter and a way out of stuff.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
Bellator. He's a Bellator fighting now. They're actually based out of Chicago. And they're just a smaller organization. They're still putting out a lot of fights, and I think they have one coming up on the 28th. Not sure what the card is.
Yeah, Bellator's got some good stuff. They've got a whole little niche market. They do those tournament styles, but I know last time I heard about him, he beat up some guy for punching a chick.
Oh, yeah.
I said that TMZ video.
Yeah, I caught that on YouTube,
giving all kinds of shameless plugs out today.
Oh, I know. That was pretty funny. He ran around that car, and he beat the hell out of that guy. That's what he gets, though. Should have kept his hands to himself.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. And then what about Chris Lytle? I mean, that was a hell of a way to go out and end his career, you know, and fighting with that win over Hardy. I thought it was a great fight.
Yeah, I thought it was a good fight, too. I just thought it was odd that Hardy was going to, you know, try to box a boxer, really.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and obviously... You know, if we're going to speed through the whole fight, he jumps into the guy's guard at the last minute. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
He gets choked out. I think he probably had money on himself to get submitted as opposed to go to decision.
Well, it has come out, you know, from the UFC that they're not, Fertitta said they're not going to cut Hardy.
Yeah, they're going to give him one more fight and stuff, but.
Yeah, so they will see him back.
And he moved to Vegas for that fight. I think he was training with Couture. His whole camp was out of Vegas for that fight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems like a lot of fighters, as soon as they hit Vegas, that is the spot for them to train. And in talking about Extreme Couture, and another sad note, the MMA community lost Sean Tompkins, who was an MMA trainer, and he was out of Extreme Couture for a while. And before that, he was actually a coach for the IFL. And so he had a lot of fighters that he had worked with, like Sam Stout. And
it's his brother-in-law, right?
Yeah, it's his brother-in-law.
Yeah. I know he's a good friend of Straka.
Oh, okay. Well, he worked with a lot of Canadian fighters. And actually, the word came out, apparently it was a heart attack.
Yeah. I think Sam Stout was saying that he would never think that a healthy 37-year-old would die of a heart attack. But that's the number one killer in America, heart disease, man. So.
Well, it goes to show you. I mean, you know, guys like to be tough and don't want to admit, you know, that they need to go see the doctor and stuff. But I think it takes a lot more responsibility to go out there and get yourself checked, and so you can be in this game as long as you can. I don't think it shows weakness for you to say, hey, you know what, I need to go get a checkup every now and again and make sure everything's running tip top, you know. you go take your car in for oil changes, you know, every so often. It's only common sense. You can at least take yourself and let the doctor look you over, you know?
Yeah, my problem is like, yeah, I think one time I thought I broke my ankle, and so I called, make an appointment. I don't get one for 3 weeks. I tell the doctor, by that time, my bone's going to fuse together, man. What's the point of going to see the doctor in 3 weeks, man?
Yeah. Well, with those things that are, you know.
HMO service, man.
Well, you know, with things that are like external, you can kind of figure out, you know, oh, well, this is going to heal. But, you know, those things that you never know about, that you never get checked, like your heart and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I don't mess around with injuries, man. I've had my fair share, you know, wrestling through high school and college. So I'm at a stage now where if I get hurt, I just take it easy. I think injuries are good because they force you to change your game, you know, especially doing what we do as you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners. But I think it forces you to change your game.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And that is the sport, you know, it's making adjustments. And that's one of the things I love about our sport so much is that it's really a matter of interpretation. There isn't one certain way to do things. There's always a way to just make it your own and to tweak it a little bit and, you know, to account for those injuries and find another way.
Yeah, it's definitely a sport where you never get a full grasp of everything you're trying to learn. There's always something new to learn, you know.
That's true. And just like our coaches told us, you know, there's always an answer. There's always a way out. And that's a great thing, you know.
Some days I feel like a white belt, man. You know, like it was just like, wow. The simple things that just add up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the color lines are pretty blurred at our school, you know, especially people with different backgrounds. Just like yourself, what was it? You started the first, well, you started wrestling first, wasn't it?
Yeah, I started wrestling in high school. And, and you know, I just, when I started wrestling, I always tell people the story is pretty funny because when you graduated college as a wrestler, there was really nothing to do except either be a wrestling coach, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. You know, MMA was, you know, the UFC was at its infancy, so it was truly just, it wasn't what it is today. So I think now it's definitely an outlet for a lot of other athletes. But, you know, I felt like jiu-jitsu was just like wrestling to me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I had to make a lot of adjustments because you, as a wrestler, you tend to stick your head out and get guillotined a lot. And, you know, you're always grinding and grinding, which is good, but you got to slow your pace down. But I mean, definitely, for me, it was an easy fit, you know. I don't think, I couldn't go, I can't golf. You know, I tried golfing, I hurt my back swinging the thing.
Yeah.
So.
And in that time you're wrestling, were there any coaches that really stood out to you? Or were there things that your coaches really, you know, said that really put you in a great mindset or just wanted to make you keep going?
Man, you know, I mean, I was in trouble a lot. And my high school coach is like, he's probably the one guy that saved me, man, because he used to help me out with a lot of stuff on the back end. And, you know, I used to train. I think our practice was from like 2 to 4, and then I used to catch a bus to East LA College and train with the college from like 7 to 9. Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of just helped me stay out of trouble. I know they always talk about all these after school programs that, you know, obviously we didn't have, but it just, for me, just, I was already poor, so I wasn't eating, so it was an easy way to diet, right?
Yeah, no wonder you wrestle with like 110 pounds or 105
Dude,
pounds.
I think I was 135 pounds, and I was probably walking around like in the 50s and cutting weight every week, 20 pounds a week.
Yeah, I think that's why wrestlers, they make such an easy transition to MMA. They got that core discipline and things that guys like me don't really understand yet. You know, I started this sport when I was 30, and I was the most unathletic kid you can ever imagine. You know, I'm the kid with 2 left feet, you know, and the one that got picked last to play dodgeball that can't catch and throws like a girl. You know, me in sports, it wasn't a fit for me. You know, I never really thought I would find something that I can do until I found my sport.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go into my story because I'm going to have to leave here and go to a therapist, man. I think everybody's got a story, you know? And so I think when you find something that you like, you just, you know, you kind of devote, you find the time to do it. So
definitely. Definitely.
It's the same thing for, you know, cutting weight and stuff like that. Like, you know, within the last 6-7 months, I went from 205 to a buck 75 where I'm at now. And I think it just evolves around if you really want to do it, you're going to do it. And if not, you'll find an excuse not to.
You know? That's true. So. That's true. And on that, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be back in a minute with more Mat Time Radio.
Yeah. fucking sucker song. Shut the fuck up.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a great song, man.
Yeah, I know. I think I should have listened to that one the whole way through before I picked that one.
I guess we are back.
Well, thank you to everyone who is still listening. We are still Matt Time Radio. And I'm going to remind you guys that our phones are open. You can still call us at 1-800-893-9562. You can still catch us on Twitter or anything you want to talk about.
Hit
us up on our, hit us up on our Facebook page and at Matt Time Radio. And we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we're we're covering everything, not just MMA and BJJ, boxing is part of all, you know, that whole system, Muay Thai.
Definitely.
We've got some guys who like Kung Fu, they can call us too.
Oh, yeah, we want to learn the proper way to do a dim mock.
Yeah, or one of them Steven Seagal front kicks.
Yeah, what's up with that guy? He's going to be getting his finger into everybody that's, you know, he's getting...
Didn't he start with Lyoto, right?
Yeah.
He was hanging out with him And then he moved over to, he said, I better get...
Anderson Silva?
Yeah. Maybe he's got a new movie coming out.
Yeah, like Anderson really needed Steven Seagal's help.
I don't know, man, but that front kick on Utah, man, boy.
That was wicked. Yeah, that was some sweet chin music right there.
Yeah, man, that was pretty wicked.
All right, looks like we have a caller.
Wow.
Hey, you're on with Matt Time Radio. Who's this? Hello, caller, you're on.
Hello?
Oh
man, that's awesome.
It's okay, don't worry. Call back again. We still want to hear from you.
Yeah, 1-800-893-9562.
Yeah.
It's free too. You guys can
call.
It's
free.
Yeah.
Won't cost a dime. But Steven Seagal, he's it seems like he's trying to, you know, resurrect his career and look at his reality show.
A lot of guys are like, I thought I read a while back that MC Hammer was trying to get into the, you know, obviously because the money's in it now, right? But
well, if he's wearing them hammer pants, he ain't gonna be able to throw any
you
high
don't
kicks.
Know that? Have you seen those dance moves he got?
Yeah, man, but I don't know how he can kick with them pants, dude. He could probably kick about knee level, maybe.
If you know about Hammer, he'll probably have Oaktown 357 in his corner.
Well, who knows? He might bust out some like capoeira or something with them pants. He might pick them up, and
you never know, man.
Yeah, I know. Watch out for that guy.
Well, better than them shorts that guy had on the other fight.
Oh, I know. He gave everybody a free show with those.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and especially the reaction on YouTube, people dropping clips, and you hear just people in the background just screaming, like they've never seen a pair of nuts before. It's funny.
Well, dude, I seen people had that on there, and it's like, you have to slow down the footage so slow to see that. Like, why are you even doing it?
Exactly.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to see it, just play it normal. You won't see it. I didn't see it.
Exactly. There's someone to go, like, I think I saw a little bit of nuts. I think I have to rewind it.
Dude, didn't that guy Ronan used to wear those all the time? Remember him?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he had the dreadlocks or something.
Well, I mean, even look at Crow Cop and his like weird, you know, checkered flag shorts.
Purina shorts. See if he got a sponsorship out of that. You know?
Well, I guess that's how he used to throw them high kicks because of them shorts.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dana White said no more. I said no more of them little shorts in the UFC.
Well, he gave that guy $70,000 for beating that dude up. That was a good fight though.
That was a good fight.
Very technical.
Yeah, I wonder what Shogun's gonna wear now. We're going to have to see Shogun in some board shorts now that he can't wear now.
What? Did Shogun wear shorts?
He wore something similar. They're a little bit longer. But he used to come out in those, like, tight compression shorts, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He wasn't really, like, the board short, you know.
Yeah, and I know Joe Rogan's talking about, I guess they got these new cups, too, that really help.
Yeah, actually, I checked out their website. And
What was it? Do you know what it was? What website it was?
It was, I think it was Diamond. It was Diamond, something like that, Diamond MMA. Their cups are like on back order now because of that. It just goes to show like the stretch of the UFC. You know, Joe Rogan talks about, you know, how good this cup is because it has a couple straps. And yeah, it's back order.
Yeah. I mean, he says they're built into the short, so I mean.
Yeah, well, that's an investment you can't take lightly, man. You know, you got to protect the family jewels.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to come up with something for the back of the head, too, because I see a lot of people get beat up in the back of the head.
Oh, no kidding. Even Miller and Henderson, I mean, you know, that last flurry. Or just even the Donald Cerrone and Oliveira fight, too. The first one in that undercard.
Yeah, dude, that was a good fight, dude. That dude, like, he's a real cowboy. I forgot what show it was where they went to his house. He lives like on an actual farm.
Oh, he's like another Matt Hughes, then, huh?
Yeah, he lives on a farm, and he's got a barn that's got all his MMA stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he's
like lifting bales of hay and stuff.
Dude, he's got like horses and cattle and like chickens he grows to eat, like a real farmer.
Oh damn!
Not them farmers up here in the hood.
Yeah, well, he laid a farm boy beating on that guy.
Dude, that was a good fight though, man. I mean,
yeah, that was a good fight.
Yeah,
I mean those Muay Thai kicks, you know, they're no joke. You know, and just, you know, that's one of the pieces of this whole sport. You know, is getting those disciplines down. And it's good to see that, you know, a lot of the younger people that are training, you know, mixed martial arts now, they're true mixed martial artists. Where a lot of us before, like, you had a wrestling background. I actually started with Muay Thai, but my taste turned to jiu-jitsu. And, you know, that was kind of, for a while, that was all we did. And now we're seeing the boxers, they're realizing, you know what, I need to work on my mat game, or these kickboxers, you know, I need to learn some takedowns. And, you know, they have to scramble to find the pieces of the puzzle and put them together. And, you know, this younger generation, though, there's going to be a lot of good fighters that are coming up. And I just can't wait to see what, you know, how it's going to be in the future when we see some real true bred mixed martial artists coming onto the scene and just tearing it up.
They're going to have to do it like the jiu-jitsu tournaments we go to, where they've got like adult, master, senior in the UFC. That'd be pretty funny, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Senior heavyweight fight.
Oh, that would be funny. But, yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, the sport is just growing so quickly, and you know, you never know if it'll make Dana White money. I'm sure they'll put it to work.
Well, you know, obviously they invested a lot of money to get the sport where it's at. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think you really can't take that away from them. It's obviously not the same UFC that the Gracies had. I mean, they've done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they've invested all this money and time to get it where it's at today.
Oh, yeah. And just the support that they're getting from major corporations. Just recently, Harley Davidson, they re-signed a multi-year contract with the UFC. And they're going to still continue to promote. And they have another promotion that's actually going to be coming around where they're calling it the Hometown Throwdown.
Wow.
And what they're doing is they're going to let people from smaller cities kind of go into like a raffle type of deal, and they're going to try to bring the UFC to smaller towns so a lot more people can get access to a live fight. Because a lot of people, you know, they'll never get to see a live fight unless they live in a major city, you know, California, Vegas, you know. And I'm sure you've seen, you know, it's nothing like a live fight.
I mean, the live fights are cool. It's definitely different.
Yeah, definitely a different experience.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I kind of like watching them at home because I can get up and get something to drink and not spend $18. And
yeah, it goes to show. I did go to the first UFC that was here in California. It was in Anaheim, and that was back when Tito Ortiz and Tito and Forrest fought.
Oh wow! Okay.
And
was that at the Pond?
Or? That was at the Pond.
Yeah, it's called the Honda Center now.
Yeah, took my coach with me, and he fell asleep.
Wow, you fall asleep anywhere, that dude.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, are you kidding? You know, we're in live fighting. It was, you know.
Yeah, the fights are pretty funny, man. I went to that Brock Lesnar-Cain Velasquez fight. Uh-huh. That was so funny, man, because, I'm not a big Brock fan, but when that dude walked in, it seemed like 90% of the people were cheering for Brock. Uh-huh. Right, and so I always tell everybody, 90% of the people were cheering for Brock, and then Kane went in, and it was like, they were almost booing him. And then Kane won, and I said, man, everybody turned Mexican, like, in 2 minutes, man. It was crazy in there. But, you know, it's definitely different.
Well, that was always kind of the draw of Tito Ortiz, too. He seemed to, like, you know, rally, you know, the Latino, you know, UFC and MMA fans and get them fired up, and, you know, we come out with his, you know, Mexican flag and his American flag together and stuff, and... You know, but who knows what's going to happen with that guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he got beat up by Rashad, but...
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a rematch on that one.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to what you said about this whole, you know, mixed martial arts, this whole MMA deal, I think you're starting to see a lot of the other sports, you know, show their effect in mixed martial arts. You get a guy with that jab that seems to be deadly on a lot of people. You know, boxer's jab. They call it boxing, what, the sweet science, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, you get those people that can throw those jabs that are really effective. You go into Muay Thai, you get those leg kicks that are really effective.
Yeah, definitely. And these people are starting to recognize where before I've done some cross training, and I've gone to different gyms, and I spent a little time at a boxing gym, and for a really long time, those guys do not want to hear anything other than boxing talk. You know, they don't care to know anything else other than, you know, what they're there to do. And those guys are real purist, you know, at least the ones I've encountered. And, you know, now they're finally realizing that, you know, they got to come around. You know, it's just the natural evolution.
Yeah.
And it looks like we have another caller. Oh, wow, that's no. Guess not.
Oh, they hung up on us already.
I wonder if it's the same dude.
Yeah. It's that guy we paid at the payphone.
Yeah, I told him what time to call. He probably took that money and ran.
I don't even think there's a payphone around here, man.
Yeah, is this place pager friendly? You know,
pager friendly. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely. I think the sport's always evolving, and I mean, obviously, you get guys like GSP who've trained in everything.
Yeah, he was in karate since he was a kid, and he wrestled, and
yeah, I just don't know if he can take a punch in the face, but.
Well, I mean, I think he has a chin. I've seen him take, you know, I've seen him take some blows and stuff. But yeah, he's just one of those guys that, you know, he's got that work ethic, and he'll just, you know, he keeps training harder and harder and harder. And I guess a lot of times it comes down to who wants it, who really wants it more.
Yeah. That's why I like, you know, now that they, the UFC brought the WEC guys in, I like those little guys, man. They're always a lot faster, and they scrap. And
yeah.
Even in boxing, like just boxing, obviously you see like the heavyweight guys, and they seem to like hold each other and move around here and there, but like the little guys in boxing, man, they go at it. You know, you get the Pacquiao's of the world who just.
Okay, it looks like we do have a caller. Hey, caller.
Hello.
Who is this?
Hello. This is Hector Duarte.
Hector, thanks for calling Matt Time Radio, buddy.
How you doing, Hector?
How's it going, man? A few questions, gentlemen.
Don't make it difficult, man.
Yeah.
First of all, Rashad Evans, after his fight with Tito Ortiz, what can you gauge? Is he ready for John Jones?
I don't know. I mean, there, I think it's really going to be kind of a, I would say, a age versus, you know, young guy, old guy match, where John Jones is, you know, he's a lot hungrier because he's younger, very, very fast. But it, I think they're, you know, if Rashad was a couple years younger, it would be a lot more evenly matched. Those two, they're very unorthodox. And, you know, you never know what to expect from those guys. They really, both of them go out there to bang.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be past their prime at some point. They're just two different guys. I think, you know, Jones has got those long arms and limbs that if he uses them, Rashad's not going to be able to get in there and do his dancing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or if he can avoid that spinning back elbow.
Yeah, what do you think, Hector? What's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, it's weird because you think of Rashad. I mean, how much has he aged after that loss to Lyoto? How much has that taken out of him?
You know, I don't even know if it's that or if it's just that he took a whole year off from fighting, man. I mean, you get. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But it's true. Taking that much time off and stuff, and, you know, who knows how much training he was really doing and stuff and preparing. But, I mean, sure, yeah, there's going to be some ring rust getting back in, you know. And
although when Tito got that guillotine on him, I was like, uh-oh. You know, because Tito's got good. I mean, people don't know that, but Tito's got some great submission ability, man. That guy's not a joke on the floor either. You know, he just never gets there, but. I mean, he's well versed in his ground game.
Yeah. Well, I still think it would be a really good fight to see, you know, to see them two. I mean, just like, you know, Dana White always says, you know, styles make fights, and those are two guys that got really distinct styles. Neither of them are boring fighters. They always put on a good fight. It's not like in the days of, you know, Tim Sylvia, and, you know, you see a heavyweight fight and you're gonna go, oh wow, you know, when is this gonna be over? You know, so
what else you got for us, Hector?
Dude, how good is Roger Gracie?
I think I actually haven't seen his stand-up.
Yeah, I haven't either. So
the
ground
game is just
well, but he's not going to be able to cross choke anybody. You know, Nogi neither. You know, which is his thing. You know, he'll get on you, he'll mount you, and he'll cross choke you, and he wins so many jiu-jitsu tournaments that way. That's not going to happen without, you know, Nogi.
Yeah, what's your sport of choice there, Hector?
Oh, you know me. Well, I mean, I like combat sports in general. I mean, me and Chris go back as teammates at Bell High School. My sport choice primarily is boxing.
We were just talking about how that jab can change a whole fight, man, you know? it's true, though. You hear it a lot, man. You get those guys that just jab the crap out of somebody during a fight, man, and they can't execute their plan.
Yeah, either that or they beat the leg.
For sure. It's funny you bring up boxing because now I want to ask you guys, Shamrock versus Tony, why?
Well, it's probably just money. Come on, those two guys. You seen Tony, man. You seen his workout.
Yeah, I saw him at the buffet line, bro.
Yeah, that's exactly where he was working out right there.
Lifting. Manuel, dude, I'm serious, man. His last fight, I had two fighters on that undercard. The last I saw James, we're at the buffet line.
Really?
What was I'm serious, man.
Hey, he's not very tall either, right?
No, man. He's only about 5'10".
Hey, how many hours, man, when you guys get those boxing guys in there, how many hours are putting in at the gym?
Look, one thing about James, I'll tell you, is this. The guy's a gym rat. The guy will come in weighing about 280, and he'll do 15 rounds on the bag like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, but, you know, bags don't hit back, right? What do you say about boards?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, for boxers, you know, I know what our training schedule is like. How many days a week do those guys usually train?
I mean, the same thing. I mean, it's every day of the week. If anything, they get one day off on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But usually, I mean, it's like any other combat sport. Since they don't know when they have a fight coming up, they're always ready. I mean, a dedicated boxer will always be ready.
Right. That's what I've encountered, working with the Muay Thai guys. Same thing. Usually they're on weight and they really don't understand the idea of weight cutting and getting to get ready for a fight like grapplers do. I had to help a couple guys, make weight, using some of our little wrestler tricks that, we use to get by. Yeah, but it's true.
Bag.
Oh, man, bringing up memories, man.
Vaseline and trash bags.
Cake.
Yeah. Get the heater on in the gym room. That's pretty funny that you say that because they're always talking about, especially in MMA fights, it's a guy that took a fight on short notice, but you never really hear that about boxers, you know? You're right.
I'm taking a fight on short notice?
Yeah, like they never really, you're probably right, a boxer's always ready to go.
But, I mean, they will take a fight on short, it happens a lot, actually. More often than not, usually you'll see it. I mean, it'll mostly happen with the journeyman fighters. Recently on ESPN, actually, on ESPN2, on Friday Night Fights, they had an up-and-coming fighter who was supposed to be really good, Fernando Guerrero from the Dominican Republic. They called up 40-year-old Grady Brewer to take the fight on a week's notice. Came in, knocked the guy out in four rounds.
What, the 40-year-old guy did?
Yeah, the 40-year-old came in, knocked him out on ESPN, man. It was great.
Wow, that's excellent.
It does happen, and I mean, it's when upsets like that happen. It's usually it's an adjustment in style for the other guy getting an opponent at the last minute.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems like MMA guys they have a little bit more time to do the research on the guys they're fighting, and they kind of seem to try to gauge their opponent's strong suit and try to prepare for it, where boxers just,
There's a lot more. I think there's a lot more variables. I mean, boxing, it's like you're not going to get a leg kick, right?
Right.
Can you do a spinning back fist in boxing?
Is that
Why not?
I had a buddy who trains at a Centerline gym over in Bellflower, and he's been working out at our gym for a while, and he came in and he asked, he goes, what if I flick a back fist out as a jab? Because he took an amateur boxing fight with us, and the question had come up, and sure enough, he asked about it at a commission meeting with the state, and sure enough, they told him no, spinning back fist that doesn't work either. Although in some Muay Thai fights, they will let that go.
Well, no, that's a Muay Thai move, though, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, I've hosted Muay Thai events, and they will let that go, but I mean, not in the ring.
But, not boxing. I guess I just don't understand why not. I mean, does it say? Does the boxing commission say you can only throw a front punch?
You know what? That's interesting. I'd have to look up the... I have the rule book. I'd have to look that up.
But you should look that up, man. You can change the whole game right now in this one show. MattTimeRadio.com, right?
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I know. With the Muay Thai, with the amateurs, I know they can... You can still spinning back fist. You just can't spinning back elbow.
Like Jones. Okay. Yeah, but I just thought, because in boxing, I mean, it's a punch. I mean, it's kind of a punch, right?
Or just one of those weird punches like the upper jab. You know,
What it is, I guess it's like that would be weird because they don't allow you to hit with the back of the fist. They want the actual front of the fist making the actual contact.
Well, what if you turn it around like a pimp slap? In the front of, that'd be the front of, I mean, dude, what does that glove weigh? 30 pounds?
How's it straight open?
It's 8 ounces, man. It's not too big.
Are they 8 ounces? I thought they were bigger than that.
In California, 147 pounders and below wear 8 ounce gloves. 154 and above wear 10 ounce gloves. And either or, man, they're not big gloves.
Yeah. And by the way, Hector, we went to high school together, but Hector is entrenched in the whole boxing industry. So this guy knows what he's talking about. Probably knows more than us probably in boxing. So.
Oh, for sure.
Your check's in the mail, Chris.
You got it, buddy.
Well, Hector, I got to ask you. So, what do you think is the immediate future for boxing? Since MMA is pretty much taking a lot of good guys that would have boxed otherwise into their sport.
Well, you know what it is. One, boxing's a sport. I mean, it's called the red light district of sports for a reason. It survived. I mean, here's a sport that has survived through countless deaths. It's survived throughout controversy. I think there's room for both sports to exist.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, you're always going to have those diehard boxing fans, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It almost seems like there's not really very many big, boxing, cards that can really come up that would make the draw like they used to.
Yeah, I mean...
Here's like the difference I see in like both sports. Like in MMA, I think it's hard for MMA. MMA has a big depth of stars, but it's hard for a star to get established. Say like boxing has its Manny Pacquiao, the one that's carrying boxing on his shoulders right now.
Right.
With MMA, it's a little harder because there's always a guy coming up out of nowhere. You had Brock Lesnar, boom, here comes Cain Velasquez. Who's going to take him out next? I mean, the light heavyweight division MMA, you had Rashad, then you had Lyoto, then you had Shogun, now you got John Jones.
Yeah, but not too long ago, people weren't really talking about, Bones Jones and who was this guy. He kind of seemed to come out of nowhere.
And stuff.
Don't you see that in boxing too, where you got a guy? I mean, all the up and comers are hungry though, right?
Yeah,
but it just seems like they build their records up a little differently,
Right.
Yeah, it looks like the boxers. You look at their records, and they're just a lot more fights and. And, one of the biggest differences in MMA, there's just so many ways to lose, and it just can turn, so quickly.
Another thing, too, I think also you got to look at the demographics with the fans. One thing, boxing, especially one of the companies I've worked with has been Top Rank, and whenever you look at their stable of fighters, you see a huge percentage of the fighters are Latinos, primarily Mexican and Puerto Rican. And at least many people at their front offices have said it in the past, the one demographic that boxing depends on is the Latino fan.
Oh, dude, Mickey Ward's fans are going to get mad, dude.
That's right. Everyone in Lowell, Mass, if they're listening, they're going to get mad.
Well, you don't want to accept the
entire... I don't know if they got computers out there yet, man.
Well, I'm not even going to go there, Chris.
Don't forget the Filipino fans. You don't want to accept the whole, upset the whole island.
The reason I say this, the big nationalistic rivalry in boxing has always been, Mexico and Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get those, I mean, usually they fight at lighter weight classes, but when you get two of these, I mean, these two groups together, you're going to get a crowd out there. December 3rd, out in Madison, the rematch in Madison Square Garden, it's going to be Antonio Margarito and Miguel Cotto going at it second time around. That's already, if you go on message boards, you see that's already brought up, you know, it's been a subject of conversation, especially with the quote-unquote controversy surrounding the first fight.
Well, what happened on the first fight, man? Fill us in.
Well,
don't give me a round by round. Just give me what happened.
Yeah.
Well, the belief is that after Antonio Margarito got caught using doctored hand wraps in the Shane Mosley fight, the belief is that he might have been wearing them. It's the accusation that's been thrown out that he might have been having doctored wraps in the Miguel Cotto fight.
Interesting.
Isn't that the guy who's drinking his own pee?
No. That was Juan Manuel Marquez, and yeah, that. I'm not even. I'm not going to talk on his behalf, dude.
Dude, he's a good recycler, man. What are you guys doing? What are you guys talking about? Yeah. Well, what's a doctored hand wrap? I wonder what is he using.
Plaster,
duct tape.
Here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you wrap a hand, I mean, you've got inspectors watching you like a hawk.
Yeah, don't they sign those things too, right?
They sit there and do with you.
They do come in and they check them off. Now, what happened that night at Staples Center? I'm telling you because I was there in the locker room. Javier Capetillo, who was wrapping Antonio Margarito's hands, basically used a knuckle pad that Antonio had used in the prior weeks in the gym. It had been sweated through. That was the big issue. Now, did he wear them in the fight? No, he didn't. Usually when a fighter gets his hands wrapped, the first thing the inspector does, like you'll have a trainer make a knuckle pad that will go directly over the knuckles before he starts wrapping the hand. He'll hand it to the inspector. The inspector checks it through. Okay, lets him.
So what are they looking for? You can't use a used knuckle pad?
I guess. I mean, they're looking like, I mean, if you don't insert anything into it. They had checked it, and they had said it was okay, so they began wrapping the hand, and Nazim Richardson, who was training Shane Mosley, had come in, and when he saw the wrap, he thought it looked too tight, that there was too much padding on the knuckle, and he asked to have it checked. He took the wraps. He actually took possession of the wraps and didn't let anyone from the commission hold it. As a matter of fact, they testified before the commission. 10 people testified to actually having taken the hand wrap before actually handing it back to the commission. When the commissioners got it back, there was a used knuckle pad inside.
Nice.
Wow.
Had it gone to a court of law, it would have probably been thrown out simply because the chain of custody wasn't established.
Yeah.
But that was the big issue. What people don't know about the first fight between Miguel Cotto and Antonio Margarito is this. In Nevada, fighters who fight at lightweight and above are required to use a 10-ounce glove unless both fighters agree to wear a smaller glove. For this fight, both fighters agreed to wear 8-ounce gloves. So one of the arguments from the Cotto camp was that look at how bad Miguel Cotto's face was busted. Well, the fact was they were using smaller gloves.
Mm.
And Antonio Margarito, I mean, he'll weigh in at 147. By the time he shows up for a fight, he weighs about 163.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about
some weight cutting.
Huh. Yeah, that's some weight cutting.
They got to do it like we do at the tournaments, man. You weigh in right before you get on the mat.
Yeah, they do that to eliminate advantage.
I wonder what that would do. Like, if you had the problem is if they don't make weight, then you got to try to fill a card, you know?
That's true. What I've seen with, you know, some amateur Muay Thai fights is they'll get everybody to weigh in and they'll kind of just, they'll match them up, whoever's kind of closer to weight. And that's how they'll write the brackets or, you know, they'll set up the fights rather, and they'll just kind of pick guys that are close enough.
A lot of times, I mean, if it's, say, an undercard fight and a guy is like, they'll usually say two guys are fighting at 135 pounds. If it's on an undercard, they'll say, okay, what weight's the fight at? 135, give or take a pound. They give a guy a 1-pound allowance.
Yeah, they do that in MMA as well.
Yeah.
They give you 1 pound allowance.
Definitely. Not in grappling tournaments, but in MMA events they do.
Yeah. Well, in jiu-jitsu tournaments, you just got to find a lighter gi if you want a pound allowance.
Yeah, they don't cut us any breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Right on. Well, hey, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, man, your boxing knowledge is always interesting.
Yeah, man. Feel free to call us.
When's your next boxing fight? When are you fighting next?
We are.
No, you.
Me? When am I getting in there? Dude, I don't want to be a fighter. I want to sign his check.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, we got to get you by here one day. You bring up an up-and-coming fighter, man. We can get their perspective on what they do to train and get ready for a fight.
Sure thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to know.
All right, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, always good.
All right, checks in the mail, buddy.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right, man. Take care, guys.
All right, later.
Later.
Good luck.
All right, on that, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more Mattime Radio. are back.
Yes, sir.
So we are Matt Time Radio, and we are here talking about MMA, boxing now, and jiu-jitsu-related topics.
And we're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked out Skid Row Studios before, there's a lot of other good shows on. You know, they got a shoe for every foot. Whatever you want to listen to, they got some talk about it, some really good stuff.
A shoe for every foot, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's like a pot for every lid, or a lid for every pot.
There you go, pot meat kettle. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff rolling through Skid Row Studios. And we still do have a couple minutes left if anyone else wants to call in. We just had a great call with Hector on the line. Really good stuff. Our number is 1-800-893-9562. Want to get on the line with us? And this story came to mind because this guy's just one of my favorite fighters. Manny Gambarian. He was going to fight at UFC 35. He's out due to a shoulder injury. But this guy, I love watching him on the Ultimate Fighter. He was just a little madman.
Yeah. He just got injured. Who's going to fight?
I think he was going to put, no, Diego Nunes. Yeah, he's going to fight Diego Nunes.
Huh.
And he had a shoulder injury before. I think actually that's what took him out of the Ultimate Fighter finale, where he just dropped and I guess his shoulder gave out. But
that's right.
Yeah, he dropped to his knees and shoulder was just killing him. But what a really funny character on the show. He's got that Napoleon complex like I do. He got that short man thing where he just wants to, you know, he, in his mind, he's like 6'2", you know, 200 pounds.
So we're going to go to the therapist after this show with you too, man.
I like my Napoleon complex.
Yeah, Napoleon's been dead for how long? Didn't he conquer like France or something?
Yeah, he conquered a whole bunch of countries.
Yeah, that's not a bad complex to have, right?
Oh, no. Maybe that's why I took up jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I guess a lot of it was on the premise of, you know, the smaller guy trying to take out the bigger guy.
Yeah, the David and Goliath theory.
Yeah, exactly. Except, you know, David gets his butt kicked every now and again.
Yeah. That's good, you know, helps relieve the stresses of the day. At least that's why I like working out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we all got different stresses and...
That's definitely, it's one of those things where you'd find a group of people that would, you know, otherwise not know each other, you know, in our regular lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, from doctors and lawyers and your common street thug are, you know, are all equals and are all separated by, you know, and not very far, but by a colored belt or just time in the gym.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, you know, the people that you know, we've met throughout the years and the characters that they come and go.
Yeah, I'm just, I was checking on that Gambarian deal. I guess he says he hurt his shoulder, but that his MRI is not looking good. So I don't know if he's a doctor now, but I don't think he got the results back, man.
Yeah, well, hopefully he has health insurance.
Yeah, well, he's got that UFC insurance now, right?
Oh, does the UFC give him insurance?
Yeah, they just did a big deal where they gave their fighters insurance for something, so...
Oh,
I would assume as a fighter, you never want to pull out of a fight anyway because the camp is so long to get there, you know? So, but.
Oh, yeah, all that training and then, you know, now the paydays and the UFC are, you know, I wouldn't say they're rivaling boxing, but they're definitely enough now where, you know, a guy that puts in all that work and effort and quits his daily grind to go fight is really, you know, able to support his family.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I looked at, like, speaking of paydays, I was looking at the Strikeforce paydays. I'm like, $2,000, you know, $2,500 win bonus. You're just like, wow, man.
Well, that's Strikeforce. But true, you know, not everybody can fight in the UFC.
Blow that on Starbucks in a month, man, if you're not careful. A cup of coffee is like $5.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah.
No joke. I mean, I don't think there'll ever be, you know, boxing paydays.
Yeah, that's probably something I